Hey, everybody. It's good to meet this way. Welcome, church family, and any other couriers or visitors today. We're glad that you're joining us as we look at God's Word. We're in a new series, Into the Wild. Zach started it out beautifully, and we're continuing on in that series. You know, a lot of people in the Bible spent significant amount of time in the wilderness, in the wild. And whether it was, the desert in some cases, or in the forest or whatever, there's lots of different varieties of wilderness today. But you look at people, the children of Israel wandering through the desert. You look at Moses and his experience in the wilderness, even Cain when he was banished from the presence of others. You look at Jesus and his experience in the wilderness. Even Jonah, the prophet, he spent 3 nights in the belly of a whale. That could have been considered a wilderness experience. Then Saul in the New Testament, and even John on the island of Patmos, when he wrote the book of Revelation. He had some good writing time there because he was exiled, and he had a lot of time on his hands, so he composed the Apocalypse, and we have that for our reading today. But today we're going to look at David and his experience in the desert of Ziph. And, Tim admirably brought out the fact of David's integrity when he was there. He had the chance to whack his enemy, Saul, but he never took that opportunity. He said, I'm not going to do that to the Lord's anointed. God will replace Saul in the right time. And he brought out David's integrity there. But now we're going to look at David's sojourn in this desert and how he found refuge in a physical and a spiritual sense in the desert. You could summarize the two chapters of the history of 1 Samuel 23 and 24 that in this verse here, David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph, and day after day Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into Saul's hands. That's a basic one-sentence summary of those two chapters. That's the history. But as I prepared this message, I got to wondering about what would make someone go to a desert? Are you upset with the garbage collection in your city? Are you experiencing trauma? You have to get away from it all. I thought there's a limited amount of relevance here because David was being pursued by somebody who wanted to kill him. And there's not too many in our congregation that may be in that kind of a situation, although there may be one. And but we look at reasons, where we want to get away from it all. I know there are people in our congregation that have experienced huge loss. Spouses have passed away. Their kids have lost jobs. They themselves may have lost jobs. They're in a financial crisis. They're in a broken relationship. One of their kids is getting divorced. It's like, this is the kind of stuff that makes you want to seek shelter and just kind of go into a fetal position and say, help. And we get to that stage sometimes in our lives. And David, his experience in the wilderness can be a template for ours, where we get renewed, where we get ready to be able to face what the real enemy is. It's not Saul chasing us with a sword. It could be something else, like financial ruin or a broken relationship, as I've listed before. But we're going to look at this because what he found there can help us in our time when we're feeling like we want to get away from it all. We need to retreat sometimes, somewhere where we can find solace and peace. And there are others that just want to get away from it all and even find simplicity and clarity, because I know sometimes a step away, a hike in the forest can do that for you. It can help you get the clarity and simplicity back into your life. The Bible talks about these wilds, the wilderness, being a liminal space. It's a place of transition. It's a place of process. It's a place of going from one stage to another, from transitioning from one spot in your emotional state to another. It's an in-between place where ordinary life is put on hold. You don't have any appointments. You don't have any things you're committed to, and sometimes there your identity changes and new possibilities emerge. And through that experience, you see in the wilderness there is it's a place of danger, it's a place of temptation, it's a place of chaos, but it's also a place for solitude, for nourishment for your soul, and for revelation from God. It's where he can talk to you, because all those other voices are being silenced by your very place of being in a state of mind in a wilderness or being in an actual wilderness. You know, there's something enormously attractive about the wilderness. I'm kind of an outdoors guy. I love nature. And, you know, people like Bear Grylls and Les Stroud, these guys who have spent, they've mastered the wilderness and they sucked me in. I want to be like them. I want to be able to endure the wilderness and overcome it and see if I can master it like they do. It hasn't always worked out that way. Even Jack London's book, you know, The Call of the Wild, has really inspired a lot of people to see if they can go out there and face the wilderness. Our North American continent just a few centuries ago was really vast wilderness. It needed to be conquered. And, you know, Hudson's Bay Company, the American explorers, they conquered that wilderness. And they kind of inspire us to go out there and see what it's like. Even our First Nations voices, they were ignored and silent for a long time, but now they're being brought back to life and they're wooing us because there's an inherent sacredness to the wilderness. There's a spirituality there of the weather, of the land, and the seasons. And this is my point. Everybody, at least everybody who wants anything to do with God, spends time in the wilderness. So it's important to know what can happen there. You and God. An hour or so into the wilderness, your perceptions begin to sharpen. There's sights and there's sounds and there's smells, and you're wondering, is that a mountain lion? Lots of things happen there. You see more, you hear more, yeah, you even believe more, which is why it holds such a prominent place in the traditions of spirituality. You think back about the Desert Fathers and how they spent time there, and they started a monastic movement where lots of people came to them for counsel, because in those quiet moments, they had lots to give. We're in the wilderness simply to stay alert and stay alive. And I remember one time I was hiking in Africa in the deep jungles. And I wasn't by myself, but I was with a group of people. They got ahead of me. I decided to take a shower in a river, and I was washing my hair. A green mamba swam by me about 10 feet away. And I thought, I've got to be a little more alert here. And this is what happens in the wilderness. You got things sharpened. Things become crystal clear. And I pray for moments of clarity for all of us, that we'll hear from God in these moments, and our wits will be sharpened, our relationship with him will be increased and deepened. You know, in the wilderness, there are few noises and almost no people. And in that solitude, a sense of holiness takes shape. The sacred comes up. It surfaces. You have to be alert. Having been chased as a fugitive by Saul into the wilderness, David found the wilderness a place of truth, a place of beauty, and even a place of love. The years that David spent there, and I think it was between 7 and 10 in the wilderness, were some of the best years of his life. The circumstances made him rely on God more than everything and more than anything. And it was actually better in the wilderness because it was just God and him. It wasn't everything else. It wasn't all the trappings of the world. When we're in the wilderness, we commonly feel our lives becoming simpler and deepening. And while the wilderness can be attractive, it can also be frightening. It can be unpredictable. We can go through times in life when we're plunged into what I call a circumstantial wilderness, kind of like an emotional wilderness. Everything's going fine at home. We have good work relationships. There's an order in our lives. We get up and we have such and such for breakfast, we put such and such clothes on, we go to our car and go to such and such place to work. etc. Everything's going along fine at home. And then all of a sudden, we're beside ourselves. We don't know what's going on within us or in another person who's very important to us. We don't know what's going on there. We're feeling like it's going to erupt and everything's going to come into question. What things that we've never even questioned before, we're wondering about. And there's a radical change in our bodies, our emotions, and our thoughts, and our relationships, and our work. We're out of control. And that's when we're in the wilderness. I want to say that David found two things in the wilderness that I think are worth us finding too. He found holiness and he found refuge. In 1 Samuel, you've got this history. And in Psalms, you have the internal journaling, the poetry of David, somebody who's been in the wilderness. And they're like an internal expression of what he exteriorly experienced in the wilderness. Holiness that David found in the wilderness, it's kind of hard to define, but I want to put it to you in these terms. This is what holiness is. It's basically David dealing with God. And the more he deals with God, the more human he becomes, and the more, it's like he becomes more of himself. He becomes more David when he deals with God. And I think holy is our best word to describe that kind of life, the human aliveness that comes from dealing with God alive. We are most human when we deal with God, and any other way of life leaves us less human and less ourselves. The wilderness taught David to see beauty everywhere. And this helped him to see not Saul as an enemy, but he saw God in there. David's wilderness wasn't full of Saul. It was full of God. As a fugitive, you know, he could have been consumed with this, he's trying to get me. He's trying to kill me. I got to do something. But you know what? As David journaled and he made some psalms, he composed some psalms and poetry in this wilderness, and they reflected his heart. And where was the heart focused on? It wasn't, deal with all these circumstances. It was, praise you, God, hallelujah, you're so great. I'm in love with you. I'm experiencing your love. And that seemed to banish the awful circumstances. It didn't get rid of them. God, in his own time, arranged things. But through that focus, David was able to have peace. And he experienced holiness. I like the words of Eugene Peterson when he said, the wilderness was David's school in the preciousness of life. The wilderness was David's school in the preciousness of life. In those wilderness years, as David was dealing with God, a sense of the sacred developed within him. While he was living in austerity, his awareness of God, God's beauty and presence in everything and in everyone increased huge. It magnified. He became reverent. He had a great capacity for wonder. And the Psalms, many of which come out of those wilderness experiences, are our main evidence for that intimacy that he developed with God. He wrote poetry. He said in Psalm 2, blessed are those who take refuge in God. And this is where that word refuge comes in. He found holiness and he found refuge. And where is that refuge? It's not in a cave. It's in God. And that's the main thing here in this passage. In Psalm 57, which we're going to get to soon, but many other psalms that he wrote. Psalm 5, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. O Lord my God, in you I take refuge, he says in Psalm 7. In Psalm 11, he says this, in the Lord I take refuge, and on and on and on, 37 times in the Psalms, in the Lord I take refuge. The meaning that David found in that word refuge indicates that refuge has mostly to do with God. There's one Old Testament scholar that brought out this point. He said that the word refuge went kind of through a change of meaning. It started out as a very physical word, like a cave or a building you run to in times of trouble. It was a geographical word. It was a place to go to run to for refuge. But in the Psalms, it changed. It morphed into something. It lost all its physical and psychological elements associated with flight, gaining in return an exclusive reference to Yahweh in the sense of a fundamental decision for God over and above anything and everyone else, whether made once for all or actualized in the face of specific dangers and temptations. God and the relationship David had with him became his refuge, not a place. So in David's prayers, refuge refers to a good experience. But what got him into refuge was a bad experience. And we all have those, don't we? And we all know who we can run to. David started out running for his life. And at some point, he found the life he was running to and for. And the name for that life was God. God is my refuge. Let's read Psalm 57. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to Most High God, to God who fulfills his purposes for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and faithfulness. In the midst of all these travails, lions, ravenous beasts, who have sharp teeth and whose tongues are sharp swords, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. He switches transitions from seeing God as refuge into praise. See how easy that went? That can happen to us. There are times when God beckons to us by his Spirit to come on retreat with him. Sometimes, even into a wilderness or quiet place, there can be circumstances that overwhelm us. But when we focus on him, those things troubling us pale and diminish. God in us becomes what fills our lives. We invite God into that emotional turmoil. And you know what? Order comes. You know, there was a time when I was in Africa, and I was in great trouble with one of my pastors that I worked with. And it caused me a lot of emotional travail. And I retreated to a mountain to pray. And basically, the thing that had broken us up was I had sold my motorcycle to somebody else instead of him. And he could have used the motorcycle, and I understood that. But I didn't think, at first, I didn't think it was a big deal. But then I realized, this is a big deal for him. He needs a motorcycle. Why did I sell it to that other guy? But it broke our relationship, and I was sad. So I went to the mountain to pray, and I said, God, what should I do about this? Basically, God said, bring him up here with you. I said, okay. And you know what? It was through that mountaintop experience where we prayed together for the Muslim people of Africa in his village, in our city, in our province, that we became bonded again, and we started to work together in a good way. And it was beautiful. I heard from God on the mountain, and then we heard together. The person I was conflicted with, we heard together from God on the mountain. Now here's an application. In the personal, circumstantial wilderness of our lives, like raising kids, arduous work, conflicts maybe at work, money woes, health challenges, we're losing people we love. Through all those things, we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord by being with him, going on retreat with him, getting into that place where we can hear just his voice. Like David during the crisis of Ziklag, he met God. Sometimes we look to our spiritual leaders. We want to meet God and find strength in worship times together, and that sometimes happens. But what we need is to get away and have God as an audience of one. Why don't we covenant today to give our lives to God and an audience of one? You're the one listening to me, God. You're here listening to me. And I take that as what we can take home with us today. Let's live in the invisible presence of God more than in the visible presence of our social networks. I readily admit that this wilderness is a terrible, frightening, dangerous place sometimes, but I also believe the time with God in that wilderness is a place of beauty where there are things to be seen and heard and experienced that can't be got anywhere else. So let's get there. When we find ourselves in the wilderness, we do well to be frightened, but we also do well to be alert and open-eyed and expect something from God. Here I am, Lord. Say something, do something. In the wilderness, we're plunged into an awareness of danger and death and an awareness of the great mystery of God and the extraordinary preciousness of life. David learned to discern between religion that uses God and spirituality that enters into what God is doing. We can do that in the wilderness. Let's go. Amen.